Bibles, you can open to 1 Corinthians 13. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about Wednesday. You know, a lot of people are new to a lot of this stuff and need to be taught what the Word says and how to conduct themselves in a service and what their part is and things like that, because we want the Spirit not to be grieved. And we want the Spirit not to be hindered. Hallelujah. Let me just say, if you're kind of newer with us and you're wondering, this church is not only a word church, it's a spirit church. And, you know, a lot of problems in a lot of churches is they've kicked the Holy Ghost out. And we're not going to kick the Holy Ghost out. We're going to learn about the Holy Ghost and flow with the Holy Ghost. In a lot of places, it's the Father, woohoo! The Son, woohoo! And the, shh, don't say anything about the Holy Ghost. Well, not here. We're going to teach on the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You know, the Holy Ghost is the only part of the Trinity that's still down here. The Father's on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And the Holy Ghost is poured out on the earth. Now, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. Don't get me wrong. But that manifest indwelling presence, the Holy Ghost is on the earth. Hallelujah. So we need to know about Him and flow with Him. But let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word this morning. We thank You we're going to be helped. We thank You we're going to go from glory to glory. Father, I thank You You have a Word for us today. And Father, I want to be faithful to speak and to do whatever You want me to say, whatever You want me to do in this service. Father, You know best what people need. And Father, there are so many different people here with different needs represented and different things and different questions they need answers and different circumstances they're facing. And so, Father, speak directly to their heart. Hit the bullseye of their heart here this morning. And Father, we declare we will walk out of here changed. We will walk out of here bettered, Father God. And we'll make sure to give You all the praise and give You all the glory. We're not here to magnify the name of a church or to magnify the one sharing the Word. We're here to magnify Jesus, the one we're talking about. Hallelujah. For without You, we can do nothing. We are just branches in the vine, and apart from You, we're worthless. So we thank You that in You, we can do all things. And Father, I thank You that You'll minister through me this morning. I will speak as the oracles of God. My tongue will be made as the pen of a ready writer, and we'll give You the glory and give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to read down 1 through 3. This is Paul talking. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Now that word charity is a little blind to us in the King James. It's interesting. You know, the Bible was translated by people. And how many of you know people are human vessels at times? And it's the word there, that word charity in the Greek, if you look it up, is the word agape, which is translated almost everywhere else in the New Testament, the word love or the God kind of love. So I don't know why. And you can do a quick study on that to find out that that's the case. So I'm going to substitute the word charity for the word love. And a lot of the modern translations have it right by calling it love. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and I have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. About a few years back, I was walking my dog before Wrigley. I got two now. She's my yellow lab. She's my revelation dog. I don't mean the book of Revelation. I mean almost every time I take her for a walk, the Lord speaks to me. And so we're just trying to keep her alive for as long as we can. Glory to God. And Dr. Katie, that's your job, by the way. Just let you know, keep her alive. It's all hinging on Dr. Katie this morning. Glory to God. But I'm just kidding, of course. And we're hoping that Willow becomes like Elisha to Elijah, where Elisha got the double portion of what Elijah had. So when Wrigley does pass on, we're just believing the transfer over to the black lab. So hallelujah. But I walk her, and the Lord said to me, your church will major in two areas. Faith and love. And we've majored a lot on faith, and it's time to talk a little bit more about love. And we talked about some of that stuff last week with being offended and different things like that. And we're going to go forward. And Paul, in talking about love, and Paul here stresses in these three verses, the topic here is love and the importance of walking in love. And I mean, here he's saying that I could speak like the tongues of even angels, but if I have not love, it's not going to sound very good. It's going to be like a tinkling cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy, understand all my knowledge, and even if I have faith so that I could remove mountains. Isn't that the kind of faith we desire to have? The mountain-moving faith. Glory to God. You ever had any mountains in your life? Well, Paul says, I could have mountain-moving faith, have the ability to move any mountain, financially, physically, circumstantially, in my life. But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. And then he says, if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, but if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. So we're talking about love here this morning. A few years back, my in-laws, they live in Sheffield, Pennsylvania, down in the heart of the Allegheny National Forest. They have 7 acres up on a hill, and then it's just surrounded by thousands of acres. It's just beautiful up there. And their power went out. And it went out for like 3 or 4 days, and my father-in-law got fed up. I don't know if it was because the nagging of my mother-in-law, you know. I'll tell you, you know, it's not fun for a woman when she doesn't have her hair dryer. When you have a bathroom that doesn't have any natural light coming through it and you want to get ready, let me tell you something, lack of power shows up. You can tell when people have lack of power. And I don't know what it was, but he went out and bought a generator. And of course, now when the power goes off, that thing automatically kicks on and they never lose power. And I think that's just the coolest thing, you know, a generator to keep the power going and sending power to all the vital areas in the home, right? Appliances. And, you know, I mean, today it's vital that you have your television. I mean, there's football games, right? Playoff games. I mean, that's vital for America. And of course, my sarcasm. But different things, you know, appliances, just electricity, different things, and maybe the heat and all sorts of different things that the generator can flow power to when that power kicks off. But the thing I noticed about this is actually I was hunting in Ohio, down in Coshocton County with some Amish folks, and I came back to the cabin one morning. Well, it wasn't really a cabin. It's kind of like a pull-behind trailer, real nice, luxurious one that their friends have. And they have it hooked up to a generator, and I had to come back to make some phone calls for the church, and it was real cold, and I got back, and it was just freezing in there, and I was like, what's going on? And go outside, the generator's not running. And so I unscrew the cap, and I look in, and there's no fuel in there. Well, it's not going to run without fuel. It's not going to run without fuel. Even though the generator has the ability in that little cabin and in homes to send power to all the vital areas that you have. It doesn't matter what model you have. It doesn't matter how much you paid for it, how nice it is. If the thing doesn't have fuel, it's not going to run. Well, go to Galatians 5 and verse 6. Why are you telling me all this, Pastor Mike? Well, be patient. We're getting there. Galatians 5 and verse 6. You've heard some of these things before, but let me tell you this. I'll just say this right now. Love is an area that you'll need to major in if you want to be successful in life. And let me tell you, by talking with Christians, I'm not saying this church, so don't think I'm talking about you. All you are just the sweetest human beings on the face of the planet, right? You're hitting the mark. But talking with fellow Christians and hearing what fellow Christians say about one another and how they treat one another, let me tell you, it's an area we need to start majoring in. It's an area that's hurting other people, but it's hurting your own life. In Galatians 5 and verse 6, it says this, "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails for anything, nor uncircumcision." What's he saying? Is he saying, now in Jesus, it's not the outward act of a fleshly act of circumcision that matters like it did in the Old Testament. That's great, fine, well-being, but it's not whether you do it or you don't do it, that doesn't mean you're in covenant with God. But he says, now the new thing that matters, it's not circumcision or uncircumcision that avails anything, but faith. But faith. That's why we're a faith church, because that's what matters now. Praise God. Faith is how you get born again. By grace are you saved through your faith. Faith is how you please God. It's how you, in Hebrews 11, 6, it's how you overcome in 1 John 5 and verse 4. It's how you receive the promises of God in Hebrews 6 and verse 12. It's how you quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, right? The just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Faith is what matters. We ought to be thrilled with the subject of faith. That's your part. Faith is your part. And we need to be skillful in the areas of faith. I'll tell you, there's been things that have come along my way at times and have taught me a lesson that said, boy, your faith isn't as strong as you thought it was for myself personally, and has slapped me up and given me, you know, given me a sore butt, right? Walk around, ooh, that one hurt, Lord, but I learned my lesson, glory to God, and we're growing in these things. But faith, it's not the outward act anymore, but faith is what matters. But notice this, but faith which worketh by love. Well, let me read that in the Amplified, it'll bring it out more. It says, for if we are, if you could pull that up, Heather, in the Amplified for people to follow along in. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith, glory to God, activated, notice that word activated. Activated means to start it up, doesn't it? Yes. Energized, which means to keep something going, and expressed, which is demonstrated, and working through what? Love. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says that faith is the only thing that matters, and we know that. Faith is how you receive. It's how you overcome. It's how you do all those things I just mentioned. It's vital that you have your faith. Isn't it amazing in the New Testament how many times Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Your faith made you whole. Saying that the lack of her faith in the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5 wouldn't have got her healing. Blind Bartimaeus wouldn't have got his healing. Oh, Jesus, no, he wouldn't have. He was walking right on by, and blind Bartimaeus had to scream to get him to stop. Jesus knew there were beggars and sick people on the side of the road. He encountered them everywhere he went. But he didn't stop till somebody got his attention through faith. You want to get God's attention? You better be skillful in the area of faith. And so the Bible says here that faith in the Amplified is activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. Let me just say it this way. The generator is your faith. It is. The generator is your faith. The generator that can send power to all these different areas in your home to be a blessing, just like your faith can send power to all different areas in your life. Your body, your finances, your circumstances, your kids, your business, your jobs, all different areas. That's what your faith is for, praise God. To change the natural, to send the vital power and the vital energy to what you need to keep going, to keep it strong, hallelujah. Love is the fuel. Love, activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. You can have faith, like Paul said, so that you could remove mountains. You could have a financial test in your way and have that not move you one bit. I've seen people that have been like that. You can have a physical test and trial. Where the doc, I mean, I remember I was the testimony we talked about Brandy in the Olean Church. Told she had a blood clot on her brain. And I talked to her when she got after she got that news. Not a crack in her voice. I've seen people facing physical things and didn't move them at all. Facing things with their children and things with their work and not even be swayed at all. I've seen it. But Paul said you can have that mountain-moving faith. But if it doesn't have love with it, it's nothing. It's not working. You can go to the store and spend the big bucks on the best generator in Sears, the best generator at Home Depot, wherever you want to buy it. Bring it home and have the Cadillac model, and your power goes out. And if you don't have that thing fueled up, it don't matter that you got it. It don't matter one bit. It ain't going to run. You can sit there and tug on that thing and tug on that thing and try to get that thing started, and it ain't going to start up, praise God. And I'll tell you what, when the time comes and you need to send power to your finances and to your body and to your kids and to your businesses, to your jobs, to whatever, fill in the blank, and you're tugging on that thing and it ain't starting up, maybe you ought to check if there's any fuel in there. What have you been saying about people? How's your bitterness and your offense level in your heart? How's your unforgiveness level? Who you been talking about? Who you been bad-mouthing? Who you been gossiping about? Who you been sitting there taking thoughts about? Yeah. Who you been dwelling on? You say, well, I can't help my thoughts, but you can help them from growing. Yeah, that's right. One minister said, I can't stop the birds from flying over my head, but I can stop them from building the nest in my hair. Yeah. Some thoughts shoot through your head. You can't help it, but you can help to sit there and meditate on it and think, oh, yeah, that person's this, that person's that. Sure'd like to see that happen. That's not love. That's not love, praise God. Love is the fuel that will power your faith, the very thing that you need, the very thing that only matters now. The Bible says, it doesn't, circumcision or uncircumcision, the outward works of the flesh don't matter, but only faith, activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. Hallelujah. Let's go to John 13:34. Praise God. Love walk, we're talking about. Something you're going to have to deal with every day. As long as you're in this earth suit called a body, you're going to be tested in this area. You will be tested in this area of love. As long as you're dealing with people and dealing with human beings, it's going to be an area that you're going to be tested in. And see, you have to pass the test. Regardless of what the test is, regardless of what people and circumstances are trying to do to pull your love walk down, when it comes time for your faith to work and you're not walking in love, it's not going to fly. Well, you know, they did this. Well, they did that. Well, how do you expect? That doesn't work. You're called to walk in love. You say, what do you mean I'm called to walk in love? Well, look at John 13 and verse 34. Hallelujah. Jesus said this, so you can believe this. Hallelujah. Of course, that's sarcasm. You can believe the whole Bible. I'm just messing with you. But those red letters really stick out for a reason. What? I can't be right. I must have a misprint in my Bible. Let me see. Same thing. Glory to God. I would have thought that the way that I've seen Christians treat one another and talk about one another and go about living towards one another, I would have swore that that would say a new suggestion I give unto you. Can you bring up the King James again, Heather? A new commandment? I said this. I don't normally preach the same message in Olean as I do South Dayton unless the Holy Ghost says it. Well, I guess both churches needed to hear this because that was what was on my heart to do this morning. You know, we're staunch in this country as Christians. We want our Ten Commandments in the schools. We want them on the courthouses. We want to be able to freely express our Ten Commandments. And we wouldn't think about killing someone because the Bible says not to do it. Thou shalt not steal. That's a Ten Commandment. We would never do that. A new commandment I give unto you. Let me just say this. This will blow religious people's mind. The Ten Commandments are obsolete now. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? See, if you do this commandment, it'll fulfill all 10 of them. This will fulfill every single one. Because if you're walking in love, you won't murder. And I said this last night, if you're thinking about murdering someone, or if you already did, don't tell me. Well, I don't want to know. Keep it to yourself. Glory to God. Just don't do it here. I told you about the one woman I told the one time. She came to me, she was apologizing, crying up and down, saying, Pastor, I'm so sorry, I've taken such horrible thoughts about you. You've just tried to help me, you've been so kind to me. And I said to her, I was just joking around, I thought it was kind of funny, you know, that I'm just, it kind of cracks me up sometimes, the thoughts the devil will give people and they'll take them. And so I was laughing, I said, yeah, I said, you were probably having thoughts about killing me. And she goes, I was like, I don't need to know that. You just keep those to yourself and don't act on them, hallelujah. Glory to God. But we want our Ten Commandments. We are so fired up about the Ten Commandments. But why has this become optional? Why is this optional in people's lives? Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love. That you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Praise God. So if the Bible says that faith is what's important and what's helps us to conquer, and that love is the fuel, like, you know, the fuel for a generator. Well, you know, you better know what kind of fuel to put in that generator, because all fuels are not the same. And even a dummy like me with mechanical stuff knows that all fuel is not the same. You know, you got to know, what do I put in it? Do I put in unleaded? Do I put in diesel? Do I put in the stuff that you mix with the oil? What do I put in there? And you know, if you put the wrong thing in, it ain't going to run right. You know, my truck does not call for diesel gas. And if I put diesel in there, it's going to be a problem with my engine. It's not going to run right. And so when it comes to love, if love is the key to power all these areas in our lives, we better know what kind of love to put in the tank. You know, I say this at weddings a lot of time. I'll say, you know, when it comes to the topic of love, if we were to ask everybody in the audience what love is, you'd get a whole lot of different answers. Some people would say it's this. Some people say it's doing this for someone, or this thought about someone, or this act towards somebody. And aren't you glad God didn't leave it up to us to figure it out? Because I want to make sure that when I tug on that faith cord, that thing starts up and power starts flowing to the areas that I need. And I think, man, I could have swore I had fuel in that thing. Well, you might have fuel, but you might have the wrong kind. So Jesus didn't leave us to guess, thank God. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That word love there is the same word love in 1 Corinthians 13. It's the same word love in Galatians chapter 5. It's that word agape, which is translated the God kind of love. Now let me tell you something about agape love. In the Bible, there's more than two kinds of love. The Greek language is far more complex than the English language. They have a lot of different words for different things. And there's a few different words for love. But two of the main ones are the word agape, which is the God kind of love, and the other one is phileo love. And I don't mean phileo fish. I said that one night in Olean. I did. I said phileo fish. And I'll tell you what, that thing stuck in my mind until I went through the drive-thru and got myself a phileo fish. It would not go away. I had to fulfill that. I did after service. Praise the Lord. A new commandment I give you, that you agape. The agape love is the God kind of love. The phileo love is the love that humans are more acquainted with, which is, I love you because you love me. I do nice for you because you do nice for me. That's not the kind of love that Jesus said he loved us with and that we're to love others with. A new commandment I give you, that you agape one another, that you love people the way God loves people. Well, how does God love people? God loves people unconditionally. Not based on what you do for me and what I'll do for you. Just saying, you know what? I love you no matter what, no matter what you say about me, no matter how you are towards me. What am I trying to tell you about the kind of love that goes into your tank? It's not feeling based. It's not feeling based. And that's where people struggle with this. Loving the unlovable. Well, didn't Jesus do that to you? I find it amazing. There's acts that I don't even like speaking about when it comes to acts against children, acts against women, different things that are just, to me, unspeakable things. But how many of you know Jesus died for the most unspeakable things? Jesus died for the most vile and awful person that's ever lived and ever will live. Jesus went to the cross for that person. Do you think that that felt good to be nailed to a tree, crown of thorns jammed on your skull, beaten to a bloody pulp, looking unrecognizable, Isaiah said. Totally disrespected, spit on, cursed at, mocked, scorned. And then you're on the cross in front of the very people that are doing it to you. And you know, I'm also doing this for the most vile human being that will ever live. I'm doing it because I love him. Do you think Jesus felt like doing that? He sure didn't. We know he didn't feel like doing it because what did he say in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. In his natural flesh and mind, he was struggling with going to the cross. He didn't go there because, oh, you know, this feels good. This seems like a fun thing to do. So what I'm saying is the fuel that you need to power your faith is a love that is not conditional. It's agape, the God kind of love. What was the God kind of love? A love that preferred you. A love that puts others above themselves. A love that's love. A love that prefers. Really, is what I want to say. A love that exalts the other person. Praise God. Luke 23 and verse 34, we see that agape love in action. Luke 23. It's not okay to gossip about people. You want your faith to work? Then shut your mouth. Only thing that should be coming out of it is faith. It's not okay to do things to harm people and to make things hard for people and to ignore people and to be, you know, an awful person to somebody. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. Now, doesn't mean you have to invite them in your home and let them be buddy-buddy and things like that, and I'll help you with that towards the end of the message here. But Luke 23 and verse 34, this is when Jesus was on the cross in front of the very people that have given him trouble. And look at what he says. Then Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. The agape love in action. Jesus on the cross, the Bible said he could have called 10,000 angels. You know that old hymn? Legions of angels to come down to get him off that cross. And he willingly went on the cross. Imagine having the power, the button to press to people that are accusing you and spitting on you and cussing at you. Listen, somebody says a wrong thing about us and oh, we go tell everybody. We tell, we bad mother, we treat them wrong. We keep that in our back pocket, ready to use it against them. Jesus is on the cross for the most vile people that are killing him, calling him a false prophet, telling him he's awful, telling him he's horrible, beating him to a pulp, and he's saying, Lord, just forgive him. Agape love in action. Matthew 5 and verse 44, we're talking about the fact that it's not a feeling-based love. It's not a feeling-based love. Amen. Matthew 5 and verse 44. Yeah, Lord, I'll say it. I know that's bold, but listen, if you're going to be a Christian who goes by your feelings, you ain't going to be very successful. Some people enjoyed that. Let me say that again. If you're a Christian who goes by your feelings, you won't be very successful. If you're a feeling Christian, you know what you are? You're a roller coaster. One day up, one day down. One day up, one day down. Faith's never down. Faith is never down. Never down. Never gets discouraged. Say, Pastor, that's bold. I know, but people need bold. People don't need candy coating. They don't need little pats on the butt. You need to be told that faith is never down. It's always up. Faith is always believing the best. Faith is always on the victory side. It's always on the positive side. Always. No matter what. And when circumstances come and dip you down, then that shows you that you need to work on your faith a little bit. It's never down, ever, praise God. People need to know that. People need to know that. And when it comes to walking in love, if you're waiting for feelings to do this, Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the feelings will never be there. There are times that you'll never feel like loving certain people because of what they've done to you, what problems they've caused you, the trouble they've done, the things they say about you. You'll never have an ooey gooey ushy feeling. Ooh, I just feel like loving the unlovable. No, you probably never will. Doesn't give you a license to not, though. Matthew 5:44, let's look at this agape love. But I say unto you, agape, there's that same word. Look it up in the Greek if you don't believe me. Agape your enemies. Love your enemies. How? The God kind of love. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Let's be honest. We've dropped the ball in these areas before. We badmouth those that do wrong against us. We come against those that wrong us. We eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's not what Jesus said. Look at those verses. When are you ever going to feel like loving your enemy? I'm never going to feel like doing that. I'm never going to feel like blessing them that curse me. I'm never going to feel like doing good to them that hate me. I'm never going to feel like praying for them which despitefully use me and persecute me. I'll never feel that. But I need to do that because that's what the Word of God says. You better just make up your mind that what the Word of God says, you're going to do it. Those are the successful people. Stop questioning God. It's not your job to question Him. It's your job to obey Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, people will read that and say, man, Lord's trying to make me miserable. No, He's trying to bring blessing into your life. He's trying to keep your generator going. You see, this isn't saying that the person that has wronged you is justified in their actions. See, a lot of times we don't want to be forgiving or loving. You know, forgiveness is an act of love. Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. And sometimes we don't want to forgive people because we feel like it's justifying what they've done to us. No, very well might have been an idiot. Very well might have done you wrong. Doesn't justify it. It's just trying to keep you safe. You wouldn't believe. I've had people downright get angry with me over a message like this. I mean it, like really, really mad at me. Pastor, you arrogant thing, you. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what so-and-so did to me. You don't understand what my parent or this person did when I was a child. And I say to them, well, listen, my job is to Fox News. I report, you decide. I don't beat the heck out of the mailman for bringing you a bill. You don't track him down in the winter when your gas bill goes up and kick the living snot out of him. And he's sitting there getting pummeled and wondering what's going on. And you're saying, that bill you brought me, that's not from me. I just delivered it. Right. And people get downright mad at you. Listen, we have an obligation to be a doer of the word. I'm not the one who told you to love your enemies and to pray and do all these things. Jesus did. Glory to God. I had, actually, let's go there real quick, Heather. It's worth pointing out if we're going to talk about our faith. Mark 11:23. Praise God. I know when we talk about love, everybody's checking up on their hearts, realizing areas that they may have missed it, and that's good. You need to. You need to make those areas right. Mark 11, and then I'm going to go into how you can do it in your homework, and we'll be done. Mark 11:23. Now, we're not going to take time to read there for time's sake, but in verse 23, the Bible says you can have what you say. The two most important things Jesus ever said about faith are in 23 and 24. Tell us that we can have what we say and we can have what we pray. Telling us that our faith can change the natural. Aren't you glad you're not stuck with the cards life dealt you? Praise. Some people grew up, you know, in poverty and grew up with terrible families and different things like that, or in a genetic, physical line of sickness and disease. You're not stuck with that. I used to love telling youth group kids that didn't have good parents and stuff and had a tough home life. I said, it stops with you. You are going to marry right. You are going to have children. You're going to raise them in a loving home. You're going to teach them faith. And then they're going to marry right. And the whole cycle is going to be reversed. Just because you had it your whole life, faith can change that. And it stops with you. And it stops with you, praise God. It doesn't have to be. That's what faith is for. And so verse 23 says, you can speak to the mountain, have what you say. And then we'll go to verse 24, Heather. Says you can have what you pray in verse 24. And then in verse 25, the first word is and. Guess what that word means? It goes along with the previous verses. And when you stand praying, what's he talking about? He's talking about the prior two verses. When you stand in that place of praying or saying and releasing your faith. If You have ought. That word ought means anything. If you have anything, that doesn't leave anything out. There's no act, there's no walking out of love act that anybody could ever do to you that can get past this verse. Let me just tell you this, you have no place ever to hold a grudge. Ever! And if you do, why are you expecting your faith to work? You're silly. Foolish. You have no place to be offended, you have no place to hold bitterness and a grudge, and if you do, keep pulling. Just keep pulling. You'll get a nice big bicep, but that's about all you're going to get. Yeah, I'm just telling you. If you have anything against anybody, what? Forgive. Forgive. See, what Jesus is telling you is that if you want verse 23 and verse 24 to work, you better have verse 25 in line. Your love walk. I remember a gentleman, I've told this story before, it's worth repeating, that for years dealt with a shoulder problem. Years. And this person could quote healing scriptures. This person believed in healing in the Bible. I mean, they downright believed in it. And they went to minister meetings. You know, there's certain different anointings in the body of Christ. The Bible talks about the laying out of hands and the sick will recover. And there's different times of different anointings. And we see that power is transferred through physical contact. And there are ministers who have healing anointings. Brother Hagin was one of them. Had healing anointings where endowments to do different things and different things physically for people. And he went to these meetings. He had friends and family that had confirmed healings. I mean, met things medical science could not figure out. And he went in them. Got hands laid on him. Shoulder never got better. Got worse. Well, this is just a tip. If you're wondering about something with God and you're confused, why don't you just ask him? The disciples couldn't cast a devil out of a person. And remember, they went to Jesus and they said, Lord, why couldn't we do this? And he told them. They didn't sit there and try to figure it out on themselves. They didn't sit there and try to wonder what the heck was going on. No, they went and asked the Lord. If things aren't working for you, why don't you ask God? Yeah. Find out from him. Yeah. If you want to know bad enough, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. And so he finally was mad. And I believe he was in his vehicle. And he just cried out to God and said, Lord, I don't understand. I believe in divine healing. I know it's your will. You paid for it on the cross. I see that in the Word. And he began to quote the scriptures to the Lord. And he said, and I've been in the meetings of your servants that are serving you, who have anointings on their life and giftings, and I've seen it work before. And I've got in their lines, I believe, I've gone up there with an attitude of faith, and I haven't received. Now we're talking about years of going on. See, don't be checking everything when you walk out of a healing line or after you get out of prayer. Faith and patience. There is a patience thing. But when things you know when things aren't working and they're getting worse, it's just like deader than a doornail, right? And he knew that. Wasn't working. He said, why, Lord? So now he finally gave permission to the Lord to speak in his life. And he says, because you won't forgive your daddy. And he goes, oh, but Lord, you don't understand what he did to me when I was younger. Doesn't matter. If you want your faith to work, you got to forgive anything against anybody. And he said, Lord, okay. And I'm going to help people with something here in a second. He said, Lord, I release him. I forgive him. I'm not going to treat him that way anymore. When I see him, I'm going to be kind to him. I'm not going to take wrong thoughts about him anymore. See, when I was talking about the thoughts earlier, it doesn't mean you have to invite the person into the home and be so lovey-dovey. And it doesn't mean you trust them. Forgiveness doesn't mean trust. It doesn't mean trust. But it does mean that you don't sit there and dwell on wrong thoughts. When the thoughts come, you'd simply say, Lord, I forgive them. Or is there devil? Devil be giving you those thoughts. Devil, I forgave them. Don't talk to me about them anymore. I forgave them. It's over. And praise God. And I'm not gonna treat them that way. I'm not gonna think wrong things. I'm not gonna talk bad about them anymore. And I'm not gonna be evil towards them anymore and unkind. I'm gonna release them. And he did that. He said that to us, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. Instantly got his divine healing in his shoulder. Instantly felt the power of God. Felt the warmth in his shoulder. Was able to move it and do things. Years of going without. Years of being in healing lines, walking away frustrated. It was a simple issue of not forgiving. Praise God. Yeah, praise the Lord is right. Hallelujah. I had one, this was years ago, had a family meeting with me, and the husband and wife were at odds with something, and the one party of the couple, one, the husband and wife, would not, this was years ago, by the way, nobody in the church here, would not do what was right, and basically was waving a banner saying, I don't care that I'm not doing right, and I'm going to keep not doing right, and it doesn't matter what you say or the Bible says. And I said, okay, that's fine. That's fine. Stop confessing things over your children because it's not working. Stop thinking your kids are going to be protected. Stop thinking your kids are going to be blessed. Because what you're doing in your life is causing them not to work, because they can't have faith for themselves. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, parents, people that are supervisors or overseers over businesses and over great things in your children. Your kids can't have faith like you can have faith. What do you mean by that? Caleb cannot believe God like I can yet. He's only 4. He doesn't have the capability. Now, he's starting to learn, unfortunately, because now he doesn't want the Bissell Power Force bag vac that was $43 at Walmart. He's got his sights set on for his birthday, a shark now. And he's already saying, Lord, I believe, he goes around the house, Lord, I thank you for my shark. Thank you for my shark. I'm like, oh, Jesus, change his heart, Lord. Change his heart. And so he knows a little bit about faith, but he can't believe like I can believe. And what I do and how I live my life and how I conduct myself is going to be a direct result of what's going to happen to them. And same with your kids and the things you're an overseer over. Praise God. And I said, stop it. Stop saying these things over your kids. I said, you're in church, raise your hands, praise the God. I said, what? Are you mocking the Lord? See, it's not about living a perfect life. But when somebody's got basically 2 middle fingers up in God's face, say, I'm going to do whatever I want, that's different. That's different than you know, struggling with a problem and getting help for it and working towards a solution. That's different than someone saying, I don't care. And so don't be in your mind thinking, I'm not perfect and I have things and my faith. No, be working on those things. Go forward in those things. And the Lord gave me a vision about their children. I mean, from heaven. It's like I saw it on a movie screen. I saw a split screen. I saw 2 scenarios. One scenario was blessing. I'm not going to get into the details of it. One scenario, and I said it last night. I actually kind of told the scenario, and chills shot up through my body. I mean, literal, last night as I said it. Because the look on one of the child's faces, if the parents wouldn't start doing what they knew to do, and the child looked back at me in the vision. And when I think about that, I mean, serious, from the finger all the way down through my body, I get chills because I saw it, and it came to pass. I mean, this, we're talking about going into some vile, disgusting, horrible things that this child has walked into. And I saw it in the spirit, and I told them before, I said, if you don't stop this and get this right, that's going to be the future for what you're going through. Why? Because your kids can't stand on their own.
That's right.
Kids can't stand on their own. See, your faith doesn't just affect you.
Right.
Your life just doesn't affect you. I love what Dr. Webb said when he was talking about the horse secretariat in the 70s that won the Triple Crown, that him winning that race didn't just bring glory to the horse. It brought glory to the trainer. It brought glory to the owner. It brought glory to all the people around and the people that had investments, the people that laid bets on that horse. All those people benefited from that horse doing right. How many people will benefit from you doing right and having your faith walk be right? Your kids will benefit. Your spouse will, your finances, your health, generations to come. Hallelujah. Well, I better get cooking here. Praise the Lord. I've been going almost till 11:30. I don't mean to. I really want to be done by now, but let's finish. Romans 5 and verse 5. Real quick. Romans 5 and verse 5. You know, most of our TV shows we watch are an hour. So I don't think the preaching will hurt us to be here for that. That's my way of making myself feel better when I preach for an hour. Romans 5 and verse 5. But I won't go over an hour. Romans 5 and verse 5. Because you say, Pastor, I'm not going to do it. I don't know how I do it. I don't even know if I'd want to do the word, but I don't know if I have the ability to do the word. Well, you do. Yeah. Romans 5 and verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love, the agape of God, the love of God, the unconditional kind of love, the love that's preferring others above themselves, the love that's not conditional, unconditional love, the love of God is, not going to be, is, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You have the same love on the inside of you that was on the cross, that saw the most nasty people doing to Jesus. Jesus had every single person on his mind when he died, knew what they would do, and he died for them anyways. That love that enabled him to go to the cross for the worst and most vile person is in your heart. You have the ability to walk in love. Forgiveness is a choice. Walking in love is a choice. It's not a feeling. That's freeing to me. A huge weight is lifted off that I don't have to wait to feel something to do right. Because sometimes, you know, you'll forgive somebody and still you'll have the thoughts or the feelings about them. You know, or You know, you'll do something for somebody to be a doer of the word, and you won't feel like it. Maybe you'll feel like, man, I'm a fake. Man, I don't feel like doing this. Well, praise God, you don't have to. Walking in love is not a feeling, it's a choice. You can do it, praise God. You can do it. And let me just say this, it's worth it. James 3. A few more places to go, and I'll give you the homework for the rest of your life. You'll have homework. Well, what a teacher that is. Hey, class, here's homework for the rest of your life. It never ends. Oh, thanks. Appreciate that. Can I sign up for a new class? James 3. You know, it's like talking about walking in love. It's like the wife that passed away and went to heaven. She meets Peter at the gate. Peter says to her, all you got to do is spell one word to get in. She said, what is it? Love. She says, L-O-V. He says, honey, come on in. And he's standing there and he's kind of moving around a little bit. And he says, you know, I've been here all day. I need to go relieve myself. Can you watch the gate? You know what to do. So he goes to the bathroom and she's standing at the gate. And here comes her husband to heaven. He says, honey, what do I need to do to get in? She says, it's real easy. All you got to do is spell one word. He said, what's the word? Czechoslovakia. That's not love. That's not love. I wouldn't be getting in. That's not love. James 3 and verse 13. I'm sorry, let's skip for time's sake. Let's skip down to verse 14. But if you have bitter envying, not love, and strife in your hearts, glory not, and don't lie against the truth. You know, sometimes the way people talk about the bitterness and the grudges they have, it's almost like they're proud of it. Oh, this person did that and they're going to get theirs. Glory not. Glory not about that. What's that saying? Don't brag about that. Don't be happy about that. Why? And do not lie against truth. Why? Verse 15. Because this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The bitter envy and strife that you have in your heart, guess where that comes from? The enemy. And look at what the next verse says. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Before you get into envy and strife and walking out of love, you better make sure you can afford it. And I'm here to tell you, you can't. You can't afford to walk out of love. What you're doing is you're basically opening the windows and saying, come on in, Satan. Have your way in my life. Where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Praise God. I'll tell you, that'll make you be a peacemaker real fast in your family. You won't care who's right or who's wrong. It don't matter who's right or who's wrong when you're walking according to this verse. It's just, I need to make it right. I need to make it right, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you might say, but you don't understand who, and this will help you, this verse. Romans 12, 18. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've been loving to people, and they continue to make it hard for me. They continue. Listen, your job is to walk in love. If they don't cooperate and they don't receive it, that's not your issue. If someone don't receive your forgiveness, I have a family, he's a family member now by marriage of who my sister married and who he married. Now it's kind of, I see him at gatherings, but he ran with me back when I was, you know, having the keggers in the woods with the cases of beers and doing the drugs and the drinking and the carousing around and the gambling debts and the terrible mouth. He was around me for all that stuff. He was there. And he struggles in understanding and believing that the new me is legit. See, he doesn't know spiritual things, though, that the old man's passed away. Behold, all things are made new. That person's not even alive anymore. He's dead and gone. So people came and said, I can't believe it was you. I say, it wasn't me. That me died. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'll tell you, you can be new, praise God. Aren't you glad you're not judged by your past? Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow. And as I try, every time I see him, I'm so sweet to him. I actually try to strike up conversations of things that he enjoys and to talk. Talk about an obvious cold shoulder. I mean, in front of people, it's awkward, it's embarrassing, it's uncomfortable when I'm there. And I try so hard, I'm so kind to him, and that's not me patting myself on the back. I just want to, I want to be able to continue a relationship with him, but he can't get past it. Well, look at Romans 12, 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, basically it's saying, if it's possible, as much as you can do on your part, live peaceably with all men. There's just some people it ain't going to be possible with. There's some people that no matter what you do, no matter what lengths you go to, it's not going to matter. Just do your part, praise God. Just do your part, praise God. Well, are you ready for your homework that's going to last you for the rest of your life?
Amen.
Heather, would you pull up 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 in the Amplified? And we're going to close with this. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Now, Paul, in the first three verses, remember he said that I could speak tongues of men and angels, don't have love, I'm nothing. Give my body, feed all the goods to feed the poor, faith so I could remove mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Well, then he goes on to verse 4 and tells you what love is. Now, the awesome thing about the Amplified part version of this, the Amplified does just what it says. It amplifies that original Greek. And it brings out the meaning of those words in a better way than the King James version does. And so Paul's going on to talk about what love is. And when he goes on and talks about this, two things are happening. It's not only describing who your God is, because the Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. God is agape. Well, it's going to go on and describe the characteristics of agape love. But also it's going to tell you and show you how you're to live your life. This should be your life filter. No, the only things that should get through the strainer are what's here when it comes to responding and acting in situations. So as I read this, think about your own life. Now what you would do if you want to be a love champion and have fuel in the generator, you'll meditate on these verses every day. Why? You'll need them every day. What does that mean? Just read them over every day. Meditate on them in your heart. Look at areas you can make adjustments in. But let me read this and think about your own life. Love endures long and is patient and kind. People endure sometimes, but not so patiently and not so kindly. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude and unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights, husbands. That was supposed to be funny. Don't be going like this, wives, dear husbands. Don't do it. We're watching you. Does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. True love is not self-seeking. It is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. And oh my gosh, are Christians touchy? Woo, you say one thing to them, and oh boy, there's a firestorm. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. We like to keep those in our back pocket, don't we? We like to keep those things up so we can use them at the exact moment where it's going to benefit us. No, love doesn't even pay attention to a suffered wrong. Takes no account of it. No history of it. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under everything, under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Verse 8, love never fails. And I'm going to close my Bible so you know I'm not lying anymore. And we're going to be done. But I want to say this with love never fails. Try injecting the thing that the Bible says will never fail into a situation. Actually inject the selfless God kind of preferring love into a situation that might be a trouble. And you might just find that might be the fix. That might be the cure. I remember we had we went to a dinner. This was years ago, for a couple that invited us over for dinner and fellowship. And I'll tell you what, I swear to you, I was thinking this the whole time. I swore that the gentleman sitting across from me that I just met was a serial killer. I'm not kidding. He said 5 words in 2.5 hours, I think it was. And the looks, it was the most, I mean, you talk about heebie-jeebies. My skin was, was it not? Crawling. I needed to get out of that place. Well, the wife had us over because she was so faithful and hungry for God. And the husband was giving her such a hard time about it. I mean, being mean to her, downright causing trouble for her to go to church and just making fun of her and doing all these things. And so she wanted to have us over. Well, that didn't seem to help too much. And Because, you know, I don't know if you've ever been around me. I just want to be the icebreaker. I'm, like, making jokes. And my mom thinking, why are they not rolling on the floor laughing? He's just looking at me, and it's piercing right through me. I'm like, oh, my God. I wish I had my pistol on me today because I might need it. Glory to God. And so we talked with her, and we said, listen, just love him. Love him. Love him hard. I mean, just love him hardcore. And we showed her some things in the Bible and how to love. And, you know, the Bible says that women can win over their husbands. Now, it's not every case. So let me just say this. If you've had a divorce or something or it didn't work, listen, you can't force somebody to do right. You can strongly influence them to help them. But let's just face it. Sometimes people are people. So there's no condemnation is what I'm trying to say. No condemnation. Praise God. Because the devil will come into people's minds with a message like this and tell somebody that's been divorced or somebody been divorced 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Oh, you're this, you're that. No, there's no past with God. Let me say, there's no past with God. I don't care how many marriages you jacked up or didn't jack up or the other person jacked up, how many times you've been in divorce court, it's a new beginning and a new point forward for you. Don't let the devil tell you. He's a liar. He don't know. Praise God. And there's sometimes that one half of the relationship is gung-ho about doing God's will and will do anything to fix it, and the other person just won't. So there's cases like that, absolutely. I wish our faith could trump everybody's will, but it can't. Praise God for new beginnings. God can take something that seems so bad and make it so pretty and make it so wonderful. One more wonderful than you could have ever thought it could be. And so he said, love, love, love him. Love him. Love him hard. And she did. He ended up coming to church and getting on fire for God and becoming a youth group leader. Serial killer to youth group leader. There ought to be a TV show about that guy. I know he's got bodies stashed somewhere. I know it. I'm not going to ask him because he's big, but I know he does. And I'll close with this story. Smith Wigglesworth, you've heard me tell it. Prophet, apostle in the early 1900s, faith giant, led to people like Lester Summerall and Brother Hagin and all these mighty men and women of God. I mean, just did some so wonderful things. Same situation. Wife on fire for God, giving him such a hard time. He giving her such a hard time. So she went to church one night and he said, I'll fix her. Locked her out. On a cold fall night, she came back, tried to get in the house, and the door's locked. Now, I know what most women would have done. It would have been ruckus at that house. I mean, doors would have been kicked. Windows would have been smashed. Neighbors would have been called. Right? What'd she do? And he thought, he was ready. He was gearing up for the fight. She lays down, takes her coat off, and cuddles up at the door. Doesn't get much sleep that night, but falls asleep in the morning. And he wakes up, doesn't know where she's at. It's like, I don't understand how I got a full night of sleep. I thought this was going to be a firestorm. Goes outside and trips over her. She's laying there. There she is. She gets up, gives him a kiss, and goes in and makes his favorite breakfast. And just loves him. He said his heart was so smote. I mean, I just get chills when I think about someone actually walking in the God kind of love. What if you would do that to somebody that gives you... I'm not saying that it's automatically going to turn them. There's just people that are just... But I'll tell you what, try it. Inject love into the situation. I get chills when I think about that woman doing that and loving her husband. Loving the unlovable. Glory to God. Amazing. And that was the thing that turned him around. He said that my heart was so struck by the love of my wife. She didn't give me a hard time about it. Didn't treat me wrong. Went in and made me my favorite breakfast. And just treated me so wonderful. That's amazing. Glory to God. Well, your faith depends on it. Do you got fuel in your generator? Well, if you don't have this kind of love, you don't. So let's make sure we do. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for people walking in love towards me this morning, Father, and being patient, Lord. I thank you. Father, I don't mean to go this long, but Lord, we do need to get some of these things out. People's lives depend on it. And we just praise you this morning and thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for teaching us how to be successful, Father. And Lord, it might not be easy and it might not be something we feel, but the Word releases us from having it to be easy and having it to feel like anything. We just have to do it. Just do it. Just follow the Word. Put the blinders on and follow the Word. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that the generators that have been empty, that have been trying to power their finances, trying to power their blessings for their children, trying to power the business, trying to power their bodies, and there's been no fuel in it, we thank you are getting filled up today. Father, we're going to make some of these areas right. We're going to endeavor to go a different way, Father God. And we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the glory for it. It's all because of you. You've put everything in the Word to help us be successful. And Father, I thank you that the most outstanding and excellent and wonderful act of love ever was sending Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, please nobody looking around, but quickly ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Would I go to heaven? Say, I don't know. Well, you can know. Or say, I think. Well, you don't have to think. You can know. The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Jesus died on the cross and rose again. If you believe that, you're a candidate and qualified for salvation. All you have to simply do is ask Him into your heart or call on His name. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you forward or have you stand up and say anything on your own. But heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning and you never have, would you just lift your hand in the air? Anybody never done that before? Just lift your hand nice and high and we'll have you put it right back down. This is not an attempt to make you feel uncomfortable or embarrass you. Anybody at all not sure about their salvation? Lord, I don't see any hands in the building, and I don't know who all is listening by live stream or who will in the future. So, Father, I pray that everybody under the sound of my voice now or in the future that hears this, Lord, won't pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. And it's so simple. All they need to do is say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. And if you do that now or in the future, get a hold of me. We want to get you hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church. With heads bowed and eyes continually to be closed, if there's anything that you need to make right, you could say, man, my love walk really failed in that area. Go ahead right now. Just whisper that to the Lord and say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. I let that person go. I'm not going to be that way anymore. I'm telling you, if you don't want to do it here in service, make sure you don't waste any time. Get that generator moving. Get it turned on and flowing to areas. Praise God. Father, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, pick up your kids. Don't forget, nursery workers, get us your schedules. We'll see you Wednesday night, 6:30. You're dismissed.